Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us this final Sunday of September, September 29th. Harvest is going on all around the church. People have been going out there with their combines and getting the corn and the beans, and it is beautiful. The colors, that are out there now too, the temperature, just a gorgeous time of year. I know a lot of people are busy doing a lot of work too, and then kids are busy with different things in school and that. We had a fun time this past Friday at the For King and Country concert. A lot of youth went, a lot of adults went there. It was in Omaha, Christian band worship, and it was very nice. And so lots happening in the life of the church. Our weeks are full with different programs, small groups, midweeks, and youth groups, and other things that you can be a part of if you would like to. Just always reach out to me if there's anything I can do for you, pray for you, or whatever. We have a men's breakfast coming up this coming Saturday at 8 a.m. It's going to be right here at the church in the basement. We're going to be cooking up some food and just sharing in an hour or so together. Just with a short little devotional there as well. And then we have a men's retreat coming up at Covenant Cedars at the end of October, 25th through the 27th. And you can register right through Covenant Cedars' website there and just mark from Bethlehem Covenant Church, and they'll put you in the cabin with the rest of us. But it'll be a good time. We went last year, and it was great. And so I hope that any of you guys are interested in that. We also are collecting right now for the Community Closet, the ministry we do to help clothe some of the people from District 145, the kids who come that need extra clothes, especially for the winter. And so we have an enormous amount of coats and clothes and all those items. But what we would really like is new, so going to the store and buying new underwear and socks and laundry soap. And if you could get some of those, bring them into the church. We have some bins in the back, and we will be handing those out along with all the other clothing items to the families who come in. And that will be sometime mid-October that we will be handing those out to the school. And the families come in and they pick out what they like in that. And if you'd like to help with that, talk to me or Jesse Zuniga, who organizes Community Closet from our church. And you can be a part of that distribution day. It's always a very good day to serve. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians. We're going through this wonderful letter of the Apostle Paul week after week this fall season. And it's about what it means to live a life that pleases God and look forward to the coming of Christ. And we are going to look today at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. I'm going to read it for us, and it's got some good things in it for us to think about today. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates of his return, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not be able to escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness, so that this day should not surprise you like that. You are children of the light and children of the day. For we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So last week we looked at chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, about how the Bible says there that the Lord will return someday. This is his promise to us, and it will happen. We can take God at his word. You can count on it. Just as the very real death and resurrection of Jesus happened, so too the return of Christ and us going to be with him in heaven someday is a real event, and that's going to happen someday in the future. It says in chapter 4, verse 16, the Lord himself will come down from heaven, just as he went up into heaven. He will come down with a loud command, the voice of an angel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will meet and be with the Lord forever. Boy, what a day. What a glorious day that is going to be. That is something we're all going to experience in Christ someday. That's amazing. Well, the Bible speaks of this real return of Christ our King and how we who are dead or alive on that day will rise to be with him forever. And so chapter 4 then ends with the words, so encourage one another with this. Well, from there, Paul then goes on to our scripture for today to talk about the times and dates and how we don't know those. The disciples asked Jesus when it was going to be. The early church asked when, but Jesus was clear, and the Bible is clear, that no one will know the time or the date. But as we are going about our business in life, doing our normal daily things, Jesus will suddenly appear like a thief come in the night, it says. Suddenly, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. This is how it is described. And Paul doesn't speculate here as to when he thinks it might be. That's not his point. His point in this section is to encourage the church in how to live as we wait and look forward to that certain and coming day of the Lord. He says, let us not be in the darkness so that we're surprised by its coming. And I love this scripture because it is a brilliant contrast between a number of things. Darkness and light, night and day, being asleep or awake, drunk or sober, dead or really living. He lists five differences of how we as a believer should be and live different from the unbeliever in these last days. And I never realized this until this week, but if you really look close at those scriptures I read for us today, what I think that is saying, just like many other places in the Bible, is that the time that we, you and I, are living in is symbolic to the nighttime. Darkness fills the land, but we are looking forward to the day, to the dawn, the coming of Christ, the day of the Lord. Just as we expect the sun to come up every morning, we look forward to and expect the coming of Christ. Right now, it is nighttime. That is what we see. All around us is darkness, but the day is coming. And we look forward to the day, to the rising of the sun, the coming of Christ, which is described in the Bible like the dawn of a new day that we are anticipating, where the whole world is groaning and waiting in eager expectation for the light. No longer any sin in the world, no longer any evil in the world, no longer darkness, only light. But that day is not here yet, but we long for it. In the meantime, as Philippians 2 says, we are to shine like stars in the universe. Well, when are stars most visible? At night. Because it's nighttime, we are to shine like stars. Jesus used the parable that we are the light of the world, and he said he put lights a lamp and he puts it on a stand and it gets light to all of the house. Well, when does a person put out a lamp? At night. Jesus lights the light in our hearts, gives us the knowledge of him, puts his joy and hope and love in us that we might be a little bit of light in this dark world, all pointing to the coming of the light one day. The Bible is consistent. The world is presently in darkness. It is still nighttime, but we look forward to the day of the Lord. Paul's language here is interesting because as a Jew, he certainly knew and grew up with the book of Isaiah from the Old Testament and how it describes the coming of the Lord in Isaiah 9. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, in some ways, the light that gives light has already come in Jesus Christ. The Son of God has already come the first time. He was born in the flesh, you know, there in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph. He lived, he died, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. But a part of him still lives right in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That is why we read this Isaiah scripture every Christmas and light candles on Christmas Eve, because the world is no longer in total darkness, for our Savior has come. And we who believe in him carry around in us a little bit of light, the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and his hope and joy and love that we not only receive, but we share. This world is no longer in total darkness, for Christ has come. And he lives in us. John 1 says about Jesus, in him was life, and this life was the light of all men. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. He has pierced that darkness. Listen to what it says in John 3:19. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds would be exposed. But whoever desires to live by the truth welcomes him. So this is the time we live. We live in between the first and the second comings of Christ. And so in some way, the dawn has already begun. The light has already been lit. We know Jesus. Yet, in this world, it's still a present darkness. It is still nighttime. And this is when we live, being the lamp of the Lord, looking forward to the day of the Lord. So Paul is drawing on the contrasts here. Darkness and light, night and day, asleep and awake, drunk and sober, dead and truly alive. He is drawing on old images from his faith to help these new believers see who they are now in this world and how they are to live as we look forward to the very certain and promised day of Christ's return. I want to speak to each one of these contrasts and what I think we can learn from them. The first is darkness and light. Now, I am a morning person, and I've noticed that it is later and later before the sun comes up these days. It is after 7 a.m., so I'm usually already at work, and I have my desk where it faces the window. And so when it starts to get a little light, I like to walk outside and watch the sun come up. It's still very beautiful to me. Over the farming fields there, I got an absolutely great view of it. And I'm sure you've seen this, but the first thing that happens when the sun rises is that just a little pink appears far away on the horizon, letting you know the day is almost at hand. And then a little more and more, and maybe even some beautiful orange starts to appear. And at times it will streak across the sky. If there are clouds just right, or maybe even dew that is on the ground, it can become like a rainbow and make this beautiful picture. And then, not long after that, just a few moments later, here comes the bright light, the yellow or the white of the sun, and it is bright. And you can't stare at it too long or you get blurred vision. It is so bright. But that light gives light to all the corners of the world. And what was in darkness now is in the light. What you could not see before, you now can see clearly. You can make out trees and leaves and hillsides and the house down the hill. And as the sun rises, the whole world wakes up to a brand new day. To me, this is what it's like knowing God. Every day is a new day filled with his mercy and hope and opportunity. The revelation of things that only he can show us. And work that we have to do and people to love. It is a gift of today. On the very first page of the Bible, Genesis 1, God created this world. And the first thing he made was light. It says in Genesis 1 that before he created, everything was just darkness and empty, void of anything. And then he spoke, let there be light. And there was. And it became, it says, the first day. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has now made his light shine in our hearts, that we might have the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And so in a way, every day as a Christian is a new day with God, living in the light of Him, knowing Him as He shines the truth of Himself. And we get to walk with God out in this world. We get to get things to do, people to love. It's a whole new life with Christ. All around us might still be darkness, but we are not. We have His light in us. God said in Psalm 119, "My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path." And it's not only the Bible, but the word of God became flesh in Jesus Christ. We don't just got the Bible, we got the author living inside of us. We have the Lord living and walking with us and showing us what to do every day. We walk in the light. We are not in the darkness anymore. We know the truth of God in ourselves, and He shows us the way to go. Paul is saying in our scripture, brothers and sisters in Christ, you're not in the darkness. In verse 5, he says, you don't belong to the darkness. You are children of the light. Ephesians 5, 8 through 13 says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Have nothing to do, he says, with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But when exposed to the light, it becomes visible. And it says, everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's an interesting verse. So when we receive the light, believe by faith in the truth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord, who died for our sins and rose on the third day. And if we seek to follow and live for Him, we not only have the light which overcomes the darkness in us, but the Bible says that we then become a light for someone else. A reflection of what God can do in a person, the truth of who Jesus really is, who lives in us. Just like the moon reflects the sun, so too we believers now reflect the sun as we all await the dawn of a new and glorious day, the day of the Lord, and an end to this night. 1 John 1:5 says, so walk in the light as He is in the light. And so that is all that Paul is saying here for today. He says, we're not in the darkness. We don't belong to it. We are children of the light. So let us walk and live like Him in the, you know, out there in the world with people who don't know God. Let us follow the light of our Savior. Let Him shine in us. Paul uses the example here that while people are saying, you know, peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly, what he meant was that people in the darkness will give others false hopes or false senses of security or even just lie that there's no God, nothing to fear, no accountability. But we know the truth of God and His word and of Jesus Christ, the good news of Him. But we also know that all without Christ will perish, and God doesn't want us to perish. So we become now His reflections, His instruments in this present darkness to help point people to the light, to Him, and to fight against this darkness with the love of Christ and the word of our testimony, to speak and to share and to give and to help others be ready for Jesus too. The second comparison and contrast, though, that Paul mentions here is night and day. As different as night and day, Paul says here, not only are you children of the light, but you are children of the day. We live in this world, but we don't live like it. We're not to live like it. We are not to conform to it. We are children of God. We belong to Him. Even though we live here, we are citizens of heaven. And we are living now in light of eternity. We are children of the day, not of the night. You know, there's a very quoted verse from Psalm 118, 24, which says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It reminds us that every day that God gives us is a gift. God has made this very day and whatever comes, and He is with you this whole day. Every day may not always be a fun day. It may at times be a day of hard work, but thank Him for that day and that work that He provides for you and your family to live and the strength He provides for you to do it. It may be a day of grief, but rejoice nonetheless in the comfort of friends and the hope of eternal life. It may be a day of sadness or frustration even, but it is a day with the Lord nonetheless. We are never apart from Him. He is with us the whole day through, and he will help us if we call on him. He will walk with you, and he will talk with you all through this day. This is a day with God. We get to wake up and walk with Jesus today, right? Are you ready for what God has maybe for you this day? Are you ready to live for the Lord today in all faith, hope, and love today? Ready to serve your God today? Jesus said in John 9:4, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. We are children of the day, not children of the night, not lost or in the darkness, not wasting what we've been given, but living for him today as we look forward to him coming tomorrow. This day is the day God chose to create, and he is with it. He is over it, and he has given you this day to live right here and now for him and serve him and to know him even better. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. We are children of the light, and we are children of the day. And next, Paul contrasts those who are asleep from those who are awake. Isn't it interesting that today there's a lot of talk about being woke? And I certainly am not going there. I don't even understand it. But I know it is different than what God's word says about it, for what his word says about being awake and asleep. I read this really interesting thing that according to ancient Jewish tradition, the Midrash, which was like the sermons of the rabbis from the Old Testament, in the Midrash, there is this teaching that God came in the morning to give his people the Torah, and they were all sleeping. So God had to wake them up. He had to wake them up. He said, I came and there was no one. I called and there was no answer. There's a Bible verse that says, when he returns, will he find anyone still with faith, still looking forward to his coming? Ephesians 5:14 says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead and let Christ shine on you. Wake up. Wake up. The embers of your faith are going out. The word is less honored and obeyed. We have lost our first love and replaced it with many others. Wake up before it is too late, O child of God, and turn back to him. In the story of Jonah, when Jonah chooses to disobey God and run away from the Lord, he gets into a boat and he sails in the opposite direction from where God wanted him and called him to go. He is trying to run from God. Well, on that boat, it says he falls asleep. And as he is sleeping, the world around him is thrown into chaos, all because of him. God had sent a storm because this was not the way Jonah was supposed to go, and God is letting him know it. Jonah had something he was supposed to do, and Jonah's not doing it. Instead, Jonah is fast asleep, unaware. But the sailors on the deck, they are the ones who've got to fight this storm now. Their lives are in great danger, all because of Jonah and his disobedience. Their lives have been thrown into chaos. Have you ever been connected to someone whose choices have affected your life? We all have, and maybe at times it's been our choices that have negatively affected other people's lives. Well, this was Jonah. He was running away from God. He was living disobediently, just like our world is. The sailors go and they wake up Jonah and they say, look what's going on. We're all going to die here. Pray to your God. And Jonah wakes up and he sees he can't run from God. He sees the storm of what his life has caused. He knows what he has to do. He has to surrender his life to God. That's the only way. In that moment, he wakes up. He sees the path forward. He sees the truth of his sin. He sees the consequences. And in despair, he jumps into the sea. Accepts the judgment of God. But what he finds is the grace of God, the love of God for him that would rescue him out of that sea. God wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. So God sends that whale who swallows Jonah up. And those 3 days and nights with the Lord inside the belly of the whale change him. And then God puts him back on dry ground. He saves him and gives him another chance to obey. And Jonah does. Paul says to the people in Thessalonica, let us be awake and not asleep. I mean, let us even just wake up to what's going on around us in our world, in our home, in our own hearts, and how we got here, how we turned away from God, how we've begun to worship and put our hope in other things, other people. Wake up from your slumber. Remember God. Paul says, be awake for the coming of Christ. Don't let him find you sleeping. Now, we live in a time of grace when if we hear his voice and don't harden our hearts, but confess our sin and turn to him, we will find forgiveness and grace and new life. But if we don't wake up, we will perish in our ways. As a pastor, sometimes I want to tell people, wake up! Can't you see how busy we all are for no time for God or each other? Can't you see the long-term effects this is going to have on our kids or our marriage or our own soul? Can't you see what these devices in our pockets are doing to our health and our relationships? Can't you see the divisions in our country and a world and who is behind it? And I'm not saying I'm absent of guilt in all of this. I have my own things for sure, and I need to examine my heart first and wake up to the things in my own life and turn them over to God and give him my whole heart. 1 Peter 5:8 says, wake up! Be alert and of sober mind, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, and the God of all grace who called you with his eternal glory will restore you. We are to be awake and not asleep. Be alert to see what God wants to show us. The fourth contrast, though, that Paul mentions here is drunk and sober. There are those who are disciplined in the Lord and those who are careless and undisciplined. We've got to stay sober. We got to remain alert, ready to serve, to be a good witness. We need discipline now. We can't let our guard down. We got to be in prayer and his word. Our minds got to be in the game. He says in verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But those who belong to the day, let us be sober and get to work. Let us put our faith and love as on a breastplate, and the hope of our salvation as a helmet. Ephesians 5:15 says, be careful how you live. You're representing Jesus now every day. Don't be foolish, but understand the Lord's will. Don't get drunk on wine, which can lead to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be disciplined. Be careful. And it's speaking about more than just alcohol, but living a disciplined life for the Lord and watching out for the things that can influence us or get us off a track. You know, I was watching this biography on Johnny Cash, and late in his life, he became a Christian and would travel around with Billy Graham and share his testimony. But early on in his life, he had a lot of anger, and it came out in violence and drinking and promiscuity. And then as he got more famous, he only drank more and took more pills to keep up with his life, to stay awake and to try to be happy and also to be able to fall asleep. At his lowest point, Johnny Cash was taking over 100 pills a day. And everyone could see the excess in his life and what it was doing to him and his choices, and his bandmates thought that he was going to die. He was under the influence of drugs and alcohol and fame and greed, and whatever he felt, he wouldn't listen to anybody but himself. There was an evil power at work in Johnny Cash, and he had no self-control. But the grace and love of Jesus Christ met him while he was in jail at his lowest, and he got sober, and he began to be filled with something other than pills, pleasure, and drink, but filled with the Holy Spirit, and it satisfied, and it led to a better life. Paul is saying here, don't lose control. Give it to God. Be careful what you're doing and the pull of this world on you. Be careful what you give up and what you let in and what you do that affects your witness or ability to walk faithful with Jesus. Don't let anything control you but him. Paul says, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of our salvation as a helmet. And then the final comparison contrast that Paul mentions here that we believers need to remember as we await the coming of Christ is the difference between those who are dead and those who are living. There is darkness and light, and we are to walk in the light, not the darkness. There is night and day, and we're supposed to be children of the day. There are those who are asleep and those who are awake, and we're to be awake. There are those who are drunk, undisciplined, and careless, and those who are sober. We're supposed to be self-controlled. And Paul says there are those who are dead and those who are truly alive in Christ. He says, remember, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that we might live. And so he's saying, live. He says, whether we're awake or asleep, may we live together with him. He is our life now. Apart from him is only death. Only in him can we truly live and bear fruit that will last. He is our life now. Listen to what it says in Colossians 3:1-4. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Our life is attached to his. Christ is our life now. There is living in sin and death, and there is living in Christ and life. And every day we got that choice to choose life or to choose death. Christ came that you might live and live more abundantly. Apart from him, we can do nothing. With him, everything. He is the source of all life. In him, we become like a tree planted by streams of living water. Without him, our life is like a branch that's cut off from the vine and just withers. So we don't just look forward to life with God someday. We are invited today into a life with God. So I end with this, that I notice that in this section of Scripture, it is written not just for a person to hear, but for a people to hear. It says, God did not appoint us. It says, we do not belong to the night. It says, let us be awake. Us, we, our. The language Paul is speaking here is to a group, not an individual. Even though we each must choose to follow Jesus, we don't follow him alone. We don't live this life in Christ alone. We are saved together. Together we are one body of Christ. Together we are the people of God. That's why Paul ends by saying we're to encourage one another and build each other up, because these days aren't easy. We need each other. We're not alone. The people of God is the church, and we each belong to the other. We are a part of something bigger than just us. So pray for one another. Call each other. Don't stop meeting together. Even just for pickleball or coffee. Be in each other's lives. Encourage and build each other up. And all the more as we see the day approaching. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.